Welcome to day 357 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm glad you're with me again today. We are going to be finishing the beautiful epistle to the Hebrews. Today we will read chapters 11, 12, and 13. We are going to be finishing up in the New American Standard Bible, and then for the next week we will read from the Amplified Translation. But today, beginning in this wonderful chapter on the subject of faith, we start at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it for it with tears. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, "If even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I am full of fear and trembling." But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. This is the end of today's scripture reading and the end of the Epistle to the Hebrews. In today's devotional, I want to focus on these amazing words that we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We see throughout this chapter two powerful words, by faith. We see them repeated over and over and over in the context of explaining to us that godly men of old lived their lives by faith. And it was by faith that Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. It was by faith that Enoch ended up being translated to heaven without even dying because he walked with God. It was by faith that Noah, after God warned him about the coming flood, built an ark in obedience to the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for his inheritance, and he went out without even knowing where he was going. It was also by faith that Abraham offered up Isaac, the very son that God had promised him would produce an offspring that would end up being like the stars of the sky or the sand of the seashore. And yet, he believed that God could even raise him up from the dead in order to make that promise come to pass, if need be. Everything in this chapter speaks of the by faith manner of life that these saints of old exhibited. And this is the same lifestyle that God has called every single believer to enter into. As we begin, let me reiterate the meaning of this word faith as we are using it. I believe that the Bible always interprets itself and that we don't have to come up with some way of explaining or understanding the Word of God that didn't come based upon it, the Word of God. So looking at the very first verse of Hebrews 11, we find these words, and I'm reading first from the New American Standard Bible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now listen to it from the Amplified Translation. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I love that. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now listen to it from the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And then the very last one I want you to listen to is the J.B. Phillips New Testament. It says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. Now, let's take those words for a moment. We could hope for any and everything in the world, and yet that's not what this is a reference to. That we have confidence in things we hope for, that they're going to come to pass, even if it's just based on nothing. It's just based on our hope that someday we'll own a Learjet, or someday we will do a certain thing or go a certain place. That's not the meaning here, because you always have to take God's word and interpret and define God's word by other parts of the Word of God. So here it's telling us, faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. Then if you go on to the next verse, verse 2, it says, it was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. So what was it that these saints of old were having faith in? What were they hoping in? Well, it was always based on a promise of God, a word of God, something that God had said. So this hope that's being spoken of here in Hebrews 11:1 is not just a fanciful hope for something that you'd like to have or like to do. It's based upon a promise or word of God. And as long as the basis of your faith is the word of God, you're always on solid ground. Let's look at Romans 10:17 for a moment. This also addresses the issue of faith. We heard it previously as we went through the book of Romans. But now this word in Romans 10:17 tells us how a person actually acquires faith. How do you get this faith that's being spoken of in Hebrews 11 that gives us such a strong confidence that the thing we're hoping for will come to pass? This says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. That's the New Living Translation. Listen to the Amplified. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ the Messiah himself. The J.B. Phillips says it this way. Belief, you see, can only come from hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. So this verse, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, tells us that the faith that's being spoken of here in Hebrews 11 is faith that springs from a promise in God's word. So we have a promise that the Lord is our healer. We can believe, have confidence in our perfect healing because our faith is based on a word of promise we have found in the Bible. We have a confidence that God's going to provide our financial needs, and it's based on our faith in God's word that says in the book of Philippians, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So our faith springs from the promise of the word of God, so that we can then stand firmly in Hebrews 11, saying, "Now faith is the assurance of this thing I'm hoping for, God's perfect provision. It's the conviction of something I can't see. I can't yet see the money in my bank account. I can't yet see the bill paid that I need to pay, but I have an assurance of this thing I'm hoping for because my faith is based on God's word of promise that I have found in the Bible." The Amplified translation to me gives us such rich understanding when it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses." You don't yet see the healing. You don't yet see the financial provision. You don't yet see the restoration of the relationship you've been praying over for years. And yet, faith gives you the title deed of the thing you're hoping for. It causes you to perceive as a real fact what is not yet revealed to the natural senses, what you don't yet see with your eyes. And yet, you have faith. You have an unshakable confidence that the thing you have hoped for will actually happen. That is Bible faith, and it's based upon the Word of God. And we understand from Hebrews 11 that is exactly how the saints of old that are talked about in the Scriptures gained approval from God. In fact, Hebrews 11:2 in the New American Standard Bible says, "For by it," referring to faith, "the men of old gained approval." And then in the Amplified it says, "For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report." The bottom line is that these saints of old that we read about in the Scriptures took their heart belief and added faith-filled action to what they believed in their heart. And that faith-filled action joined with their heart belief caused them to walk and live by faith. And that is the calling of God on every single believer's life. I talked about yesterday how this scripture, "the just shall live by faith," that comes from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, was quoted and essentially commented or expounded upon in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, the book of Romans, and then here in the book of Hebrews. Because it is such a key to kingdom living that every single believer be able to walk by faith, the Apostle Paul spent such a great amount of time and writing addressing this subject. There's no other way to please God but by faith. We were told this here in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It's so beautiful because it tells us very plainly, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants to see people who walk and live by faith. It's what pleases the Lord, because essentially it means we are fully trusting in the word of God's promise, and it pleases the Lord when he finds people who do so. all of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, as it has been called, walked by faith, lived by faith, acted in faith, and received a great commendation from the Lord because they live by faith. And this is the call of God on our lives. We know from that scripture that I read from Romans 10:17 that faith springs from hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, from taking God's word of promise and soaking it into our spirit and allowing it to plant a seed and then to spring forth as a firm conviction of our trust in God's word. It starts that way. You can't have faith if you've never heard a single word of God. You cannot, because you don't know what to have faith in. But God's word of promise gives us so much material, so to speak, of God's word to hold on to believe, to put our trust in, and from that place, faith can spring up in your heart. That's why it's been very powerful for you, spiritually speaking, to be listening or hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God by listening to my everyday Bible, because essentially you're planting seeds that will spring up into faith. Faith comes by hearing, and the Greek actually meant hearing and hearing and hearing, meaning a continuous process, the word of God. It means hearing the word, hearing it over and over again. So you have taken a great step in planting faith into your heart. Now there's a second step for faith to come into its maturity in a person's life. It can't just stay in the heart and mind where it's a mental assent. Yes, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Yes, I believe Jesus rose from the dead on the third day to break the power of sin over my life. Those are good. Those are important. Those are essential doctrines of the faith. But as long as they remain mental assents, meaning you just agree with them in your mind, they don't become the faith that God's talking about and describing to us in Hebrews chapter 11. They must be added with faith-filled action or corresponding action. In the book of James, we read that faith without works is dead. And I love the translation that renders it, faith without corresponding action is dead. Faith without corresponding action, meaning you believe something in your heart, then your actions line up with what you say you believe. You have corresponding action that goes with your faith. I believe God's a healer. So your corresponding action lines up with what you believe. You don't do things that are totally contrary to what you say you believe. God is my provider. But when the financial pressure comes, instead of standing and believing God for his provision, you go around begging people for money to help you out of your current crisis. You see, our actions must correspond with our faith for it to truly be the faith that's being described in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. All of these people described here, mentioned here, honored here in Hebrews 11, had corresponding action that went with their faith. You look at Abraham, and he is probably one of the most outstanding examples and often called the father of faith. It says that urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called by God to do a certain thing, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was going. Isn't that interesting? Abraham's actions fully corresponded with his faith. He said he believed God's word. God said, I want you to go to a country, get away from where your family lives, and go to a place I'm going to show you. Abraham trusted God completely. He believed God could lead him. He believed God was speaking to him. So he obeyed. He got up, he packed up his things, and he moved forward, even though he wasn't quite sure where God was leading him. But he went forth by faith. meaning he was trusting in God. His actions corresponded with what he said he believed. And he didn't even trouble his mind about where he was going because he so trusted the Lord. This is the type of lifestyle God has called us to, where we are a people whose actions correspond with the faith we proclaim to believe. And this type of faith that God is describing to us here in Hebrews 11 is so powerful that it will speak even long after we are dead. I love Hebrews 11 verse 4 because it gives us another insight about the power of faith. It says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Do you know that your faith is so powerful that it will continue to speak to generations even after you are dead? That is powerful. Abel's faith has continued to speak for thousands of years. Generations have heard of Abel's faith. And that's what God is saying to us today. If you want to walk in this level of faith in God, it will have such reverberations through generations to come that it will speak to people even after you are dead. You know, your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will inherit a spiritual inheritance from you, whether you think about it or not, whether you plan on it or not. They will receive a spiritual inheritance. What kind of spiritual inheritance will you leave to your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren? May it be the kind of inheritance that Abel left behind, that his faith still spoke to those generations long after he was dead. Let it be able to be written on your tombstone. He believed God. She believed God. She had faith in God. He had faith in God. I want to encourage you as we come to the close of a year and the beginning of a new year that you seriously consider and seriously pray into this new year being the year that you will walk by faith, where you will live by faith, where you will speak by faith, where everything you do will spring from faith. Because remember the scripture we studied that said, whatever is not of faith is sin. So we want to live a life and walk through the coming new year by faith. Let it be the year of walking by faith in your life. That's what I want to encourage you to do and to pursue. And as you continue to hear and hear and hear the word of God, you will plant more seed that can spring up into a mature harvest of faith. And when you add corresponding action to that faith, you will indeed see the promises of God come to pass. God bless you and give you a victorious week.